Let's get back to Steve Cofield and Caleb Herring, live from the UNLV Spring Showcase.
Rolling towards the end of the midway break. Yes, we're at Peter Johan Field. It is Cofield along with Caleb Herring. Well, that was cool at the half. Tony Sanchez grabs the mic and intros about 8-9 new recruits we already mentioned. Local quarterback phenom, Kenyon Oblad, got in at the end of the first half, so he's part of the class, but about 8-9 different players. Any observations there? A lot of size, actually a lot of variance in size.
Yeah,
we'll get to the little guy in the group that I know Tony Sanchez is really fired up about, but a couple of big fellas,
yeah.
Two of the JUCO defensive tackles. Oh, boy.
Boy, you got to like the way that looks when you're talking about your D-line. When you're introducing a D-lineman and that walks out, that's pretty exciting for your football program, especially when we're talking about the woes that they've had in stopping the run and who you have to replace and Mike Hughes up front. That's huge. And we talked about it earlier. There's the intimidation factor of having a big body that just, you know, if nothing else, it's a big body and a large mass of human being to move out of the way. So speaking about the size of your program, that is definitely what Coach Sanchez is recruiting. And he did a good job with those big D tackles that he just introduced.
Yeah, the big guys, Montrez Johns, and then I will butcher, was it Anunua? I will butcher his name. It's not Quincy.
That sounded actually pretty spot on.
It's Dominion Nzunwa. And he was the little guy at probably about 315. John's probably 6'3", 340.
I would give him that. It looks every bit of that, if that's what it is. But, I mean, the eyeball test was passed. That's a good advertising tool by Tony there, just pulling them all out and letting us look at them. You know, I mean, that goes a long way for the
Sorry,
fans to
just,
see.
I was just laughing at one of the charts that has Dominion Nzunwa at 6'4", 300. He ain't 300.
No.
He was a little bigger than that.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, very, very clear in the class was the mix of JUCOs and also true freshmen who were introduced, who are going to play in the defensive backfield. We have not talked much about the defense beyond the defensive line. Let's talk about the goal in this recruiting class as far as upping the game at defensive back. It is a crucial, vital position to get better at because, if there were times where the D really struggled, it was in that defensive backfield.
That's absolutely correct. I think there was some cornerback play late in the season that was a light at the end of the tunnel or some gave you some hope about the secondary. Primarily, though, the secondary, speaking about the safeties, Dalton Baker had some struggles last year. I think other teams knew it, that the secondary was kind of a weak point. Teams that didn't usually throw. You look at BYU that didn't usually throw the ball a lot. They were throwing it around a lot last year versus our secondary, and it was – pretty much the part of the defense that got exposed the most, and it was the most consistently exposed. So Coach Sanchez obviously and deliberately went after some guys that were going to be ready to play immediately, that he was hoping were going to contribute immediately. Speaking about Miles Plummer coming out of Coffeyville, JC, he is a pretty long, lanky guy who can play all over the place. He played some corners, some safety, kind of did what you needed him to do defensively for Coffeyville. We'll see where he winds up and a new system here at UNLV, and also kind of a downer, Luke Vardik, who was expected to contribute as well in the secondary. Kind of the same thing, a jack-of-all-trades in the secondary. Can cover man-to-man, can cover in space. As Coach Sanchez talked about a little bit when he was introducing him, towards ACL, expected to have surgery coming up. So that's one of those things where trying to practice and trying to get it right turns into an injury, kind of backfires for you. But you can see, at least with the recruiting process, that Coach Sanchez was definitely looking to address the defensive backfield on that side of the ball.
The other player we should mention is Tyler Hill, who was one of the late recruits in the class. I tell you, if he's ready to go, they need him.
Yeah.
And
oh, yeah.
Because they did not have a game changer in the return game. And this is a kid out of Georgia. He's a little guy, probably 5'9", 175. At one point did give a verbal to Michigan State. So this is a gigantic get, especially if he can walk on the field and change the return game.
And I'm guessing at his size and geographically where he's from, not, you know, being stereotypical, I'm guessing he can run. I'm guessing he's electric with the ball in his hands, which is probably why he's going to be in the return game. I remember we had, when I was playing here, Marcus Sullivan was our return specialist. And when he touched the ball in the return game, instant electricity. He could return, get his plus field position without even thinking about it. I mean, he was just so fast and explosive in the return game. There's no, like, measuring what the special teams – we'll get into it, I guess, talking about the new rules.
No, we're definitely going to. We're gonna hit the field here in a minute, but we have got to hit what's going on with special teams because I wonder how much it changes things.
But. It's going to be crazy how much it changes it. But if you have a guy that can change the game for you by flipping the field, by making an electric play, an explosive play that, to give you momentum, I think you want to have him on the field. You want him available. And who knows? You can get a guy that maybe is a specialist but can actually help you on the offensive side too.
We're going to send it back out into the field as Clay Baker as another special guest.
And we are live with defensive coordinator Tim Skipper. Well, you're happy. You're smiling. You got to be happy. We see a noticeable change already in this defense. What's it like for you to do all this great work in a short amount of time?
I love it, man. We're here in Vegas. You know, got good old scenery right here, a little excitement in the air. This is beautiful.
You come over from Florida as a linebackers coach, a team that went to the SEC championship twice under your tutelage. Man, what's it like for you now to be here in Las Vegas with everybody? And why Las Vegas?
Beautiful weather, beautiful people. Couldn't ask for anything better.
You know, you got great balance. Are you a dancer by trade?
No, sir. Just to get excited when big plays happen.
What do you want to do to change the identity of this defense, Tim?
Just play fast, have fun, enjoy it, and hit people.
You're from a football family. Your father, running backs coach with the Panthers. Your brother. Now to have all this intensity, put the helmets back on one more time.
Love it. You know, spring ball comes at a crucial time because it's right when you're feeling like you want to get back on the field. So happy to be out here, get the spring showcase done, and then we'll get to fall.
Thank you, Coach.
Thank you.
There you go. Clay Baker with new DC Tim Skipper. We'll get back to the return conversation, especially the kickoff return with a major rule change. But let's talk about the defense overall. Your impressions of why they wanted Tim Skipper. They got him from Florida. They needed to make a change.
Oh, yeah.
Not to be too harsh, but why was he the choice?
Well, you look at, one, the experience, not necessarily him, because he's fairly, if you're looking at the coaching ranks, he's fairly young in the coaching ranks, but he does have experience, and he's from a coaching family. He just missed in an interview. His dad's a coach for the Panthers, so he has some acumen in football. He's been around the game plenty, so he knows kind of, you know, what needs to be done as far as getting things on the right track. He's had success with the programs that he's been in the past, and I think the brand of football that he enjoys, that he likes to play, that he wants to bring to the Rebels kind of matches in line with what Coach Sanchez needs to complement the offense. I think the up pace, the energy, the exciting style of football, and the risk-taking, and the ability to come out and just, you know, say, you know, we're going to go all-out blitz here. We're going to see if we can make a play on the defensive side. I think that kind of speaks to the character of, you know, what Coach Sanchez is looking for the team. Being explosive and being high-energy type people is, I think, who he wants to surround him with and who he wants his players to be looking to for guidance. So I think it kind of fits with the personality of the team.
The offense just picked up about 17 yards. Deep pass right down near the goal line is dropped. Your impression of the pass and the drop? Because that looked like it was on the money. Although, not a ton of air underneath the pass.
I was just going to say, it was a great throw. It was accurate. But there wasn't a lot of room for error with the throw. I think when Armani is perfect, when he's on, when the ball goes where he wants it to go, there's no doubt it's a great ball because it's a laser and it goes.
And that was a 37-yard rope.
Absolutely rope. And the thing about it is, if he was a hair off, a hair underthrown, or a hair, you know, shaded over to the top, the receiver doesn't have time to adjust to it because it's coming on such a laser. As Xavier Campbell busts another big chunk of yards down to the 1 yard line. But talking about that throw and the drop, I guess Armani Rogers put a ball right on the numbers of Drew Techman there, and that was another drop. That's, I think, if I'm counting right, his third drop of the day. Coach Sanchez talked about it a little bit ago in his interview that there's been a lot of drop passes. Armani's been on target on a lot of these throws, but there's been a lot of drop passes. Fortunately, the running game's been picking up the slack, though, with big runs like X just had and now a touchdown on the 1 yard run on the goal line. So, I mean, the drops, yeah, maybe a little bit of nerves, maybe the first time in live situations where you maybe have consequences for catching those passes. So you want to clean that up a little bit. But Armani was on the money with that big throw.
We'll start to grade the O versus the D, because I was just going to speak about how well the D had played outside of a couple of big plays in the first half, and then they just got sliced up a little bit there. Joe Harrow sits in with us here. It's Steve Cofield. You know Caleb Herring. How you doing?
Good to see you guys. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, we appreciate you coming out. So your thoughts, first of all, on the – the scene here for the spring showcase?
I think it's great. We don't have any rain this year. I know we had rain a couple years ago. That kind of was a damper. But it's kind of good to have a beautiful day, tons of fans, and it's exciting with Rebel football back in action.
So I want to get into your story a little bit and how you got out here. We were just talking about recruiting, and you saw about 10 players introduced. And not all from the Texans in there, a couple of kids from Georgia, which is an awesome thing for the program to start stretching out a little more with the tentacles and grabbing kids from around the country.
Yeah, I think it's great to look at different parts of the country. I grew up in New Jersey, and my coach just decided to come out on a whim. He came out every year with his wife and dropped the tape off. Thought the MGM was pretty close to the Lead Athletic Complex. It is not that close if you're walking in a desert sandstorm. But he dropped it off, and Jeff Horton at the time gave me a chance, and I said, this is pretty cool. It's 80 and sunny out right now. Little did I know it was going to be 110 a couple months later when I came for camp. But it was a great time and a great experience, and I wouldn't be where I'm at in my life if I didn't make the venture out to Las Vegas. So hopefully we get some more of these kids from different parts of the country.
I am also a Jersey guy from down by the shore in Middletown. You want to do a little chest thumping about New Jersey football?
I mean, we could talk about what exit you're from. We could talk a little Jersey, you know, North Jersey, South Jersey. But Jersey football strong, guys.
Your school faces a lot of the schools in the parochial north, right?
We do. We face the Bergen Catholics, who played here, and Don Bosco, that both played at Bishop Gorman. And tough teams, a lot of kids that go Division One. And if we can snag some of those kids and you get some of those schools continue to come out here, it's a great opportunity.
So let's talk running backs, because we have not gotten into the running backs at all. And Joe Harrow's here along with Caleb Herring, the color voice of Rebel football. First off, well, how important is it to get that depth back? Because, I mean, Lex was awesome last year, but I wonder at the end of the year if he wore down just a little bit.
I think so. You know, I mean, he's not a huge guy in stature, nor was I, but it's a tough game. It's a grueling season. You play 11, 12, hopefully 13 games if you're going to a bowl game. And you need that depth. You need that 1-2 punch or even 1-2-3 punch with a guy like Campbell. So the more we have him, and these guys are loaded. They're great running backs, and they obviously got the hogs up front. The more we can rotate those guys in with fresh legs, the better it's going to be for the offense.
I think taking the punishment he did, I think, like you said, Lex isn't the biggest guy, but he runs like a big guy. So it's kind of a double-edged sword. You like that he runs tough. You like that, you know, he's willing to mix it up and capable of mixing it up in there, but it's not, you know, the best situation to have him doing it all the time. If you got a guy like X who can come in and give him a blow, or, you know, if Charles Williams is back healthy, you give him a blow and have these different packages on what these guys can kind of specialize in the backfield, it just adds a different dimension to the team. And then you don't have to lean on Lex like the offense did so much throughout the season last year. I think there was times when the offense was completely stagnant, and without Lex having explosive plays, they're dead in the water for some of these games. So having the depth to keep him fresh throughout the season, especially if you're looking to go into the postseason and have success in bowl games, which I know Coach Sanchez is, you want to be healthy when the season ends. So that's huge to get the depth back in the backfield.
What's your impression of what's going to happen with Williams from a health standpoint? And I guess we don't know 100%, but don't forget, that was a dude
who
he came into last year as a number one back, and then Lex Thomas goes out and has a monster year, upwards of 1,300 yards, and he wasn't the starter going into the season.
I don't know how bad the injury was, but he's been out the entire year, obviously, had surgery, and he's a young guy. You know, young guys pretty bounce back pretty quickly, and hopefully we get him back, because he had a tremendous first year in his campaign, and he would be a great addition and you know, give Lex that blow, like he said, and really just help us out and keep those guys fresh.
It almost would be one of those situations, I think, where you don't really have a starter. When you have that many talented backs, you know, I mean, Lex and Charles probably being the top two, it kind of depends on who's feeling better that day, who fits the game plan better that day. I think maybe Charles has a little bit more of out of the backfield, you know, range in his play. Maybe you need big play capability, so you just kind of throw whoever's in that zone out there. So, I mean, it's a good dilemma to have if you're a coach, though. You know, you're saying which guy is better than the other. Both are capable. So, you win either way with those two.
You know, I also think, you know, Tony has a very similar stance that my former coach, John Robinson, had. You know, it's not the size of the running back. You put some big guys up there in the zone blocking, there's a lot of opportunity. There's some holes that are open. And, you know, Lex and Charles, both aren't huge guys, but they run hard, they run fast, they're tough guys. And that's the type of guys you need behind these big guys.
From the running back perspective, Joe, what's it like having a rotation?
It's great. I played with guys like Larry Croom, who ended up playing in the NFL for about 5 or 6 years, and Dominique Dorsey, who's still one of the top leading rushers here. And Dorsey was a little guy. I was not very much bigger than him, and Croom was a little bit bigger, but we all had different styles of running. And, you know, at first, you're a college kid. You're very impressionable. Maybe it's I don't want this guy to take my job. We weren't like that. We were all buddies. We're still buddies to this day. It helped us. It helped us be that much better. And I believe the last 2 years I played, we were top 15 in the nation in rushing. It really, really assists you in that health factor.
No complaints of rhythm? Because you hear that from running back sometimes, like, hey, I got to get into a rhythm. I need my 25 touches.
No, I don't. It's a different day now. You know, you don't have Emmitt Smith taking 30 carries like you did in the NFL or some of these others like Walter Payton. It's a different style of play. You've got these zone offenses, read options. You need those guys that can come in and come out and do multiple things for you, and all three of those guys can.
I think especially with Coach Sanchez mentioned earlier, tempo has been a huge part of the offense. And I think anytime you go tempo, the running backs are probably going to be probably the most tired people outside of the offensive lineman. Having a guy that can rotate in real quick and not, you know, not much of a drop-off is huge, because if you want to go tempo, guys are going to get tired. And the more people we have in the stable, the easier it is to keep those bodies fresh and keep that tempo up and keep attacking the defense. Because I guarantee you, the defense is going to be sucking wind by the time those three running backs have got their fill of touches.
So, Joe, before we let you go, tell people what's cooking with you. What do you got going on?
Well, I'm the president of the UNLV Football Foundation. We're the booster club, essentially, for UNLV football. A lot of ex-players on the board and some community leaders. Every single dollar that we raise goes back to this program and helps Coach Sanchez in reaching the goals of bowl games and beyond. Our biggest success is the new Fertitta Football Complex, which we just broke ground down a couple months ago. Those are the types of things that are going to separate us from our competition, from the San Diego States and Boise States. We have to compete with them. We have to have the best facilities. If we want to recruit the kids from Jersey and Georgia and other states throughout the country and continue the hotbeds in Houston and Southern Cal, we got to win in those areas, and we need the community support. Don't talk about UNLV football being bad and we haven't gotten over the hump. Put your money where your mouth is. Be a part of it. Come in. It's a fun experience, and the coach and his staff are doing a great job, and the kids are working their tails off.
What's the coolest thing or things that you've seen in the design of the Fertitta Complex?
I think the players lounge. I think, you know, Caleb can attest to that. You know, we never really had that. And if you can hang out and play some Xbox and just hang out with the boys, and, you know, the guys won't want to get in trouble, maybe be out of the strip and these things. And, you know, there's opportunities to get in trouble anywhere in college, but that's a place that you can call home. You can hang out. You can just kick back, watch TV, and relax and get the treatment you need and the weightlifting. And so I think those are some of the coolest things.
Give out the information now. Can people make their donations?
Super easy. You just go to UNLVFootballFoundation.com. We have different levels, and it gives you different experiences throughout. Golf with Coach Sanchez at Southern Highlands, part of our golf tournament, which is on Tuesday. And you just go on, and you get what you need, and you get a little peek behind the curtain of UNLV football.
You're doing good work. Very good work. We appreciate it. Thank you.
Appreciate you guys having me.
There you go. Joe Harrow, former UNLV running back. One of a very limited group who eclipsed 1,000 yards in a season. Although the crew now, they are freaking, as we talked about, just loaded at running back. So we got a player down. We'll get an update if that player is okay. So what's happening here in the second half of the scrimmage? We switched up, right?
Yeah, we switched up a little bit. I think you're seeing more of the twos getting reps here. I think Coach Sanchez has put an emphasis on the tempo going through it. So a little bit more of the twos, not so much Armani Rogers anymore. I think he got the first series of this second half, and then he's been kind of sitting back. You're trying to get some of the young guys an opportunity to go here, but what you don't want to start seeing is, like we just saw there, fortunately that player was able to get up and get off the field. You don't want to see a lot of injuries or people starting to come up lame, as a deep shot here by Gilliam, incomplete, overthrows everybody. Again, a safe incompletion, but yeah, you're starting to see a lot more of the two deep get in, not so much the ones anymore. Armani's got his helmet on top of his head, kind of standing by Coach Cotton, kind of being a coach right now, kind of looking through his eyes. So it's to that point right now where you're more teaching the young guys and trying to get your older guys reps.
It's physical out there. It's like a Lady Rebels practice. Right? This is why you like to coach. Kathy Olivier sits in with us here at the Spring Showcase. What's cooking?
Nothing much. I think it's a beautiful day, and I thought, let me go out and watch some football.
You got to bring the ladies out here. Show them. We're going to practice like this.
You got to be physical if you want to be good, right?
Right?
It's a physical sport. Both of them are physical sports.
That's the approach. So what do you think of the scene? Pretty cool, beautiful day. Nice crowd out here.
Oh, I think it's such a pretty day, and I love when it's UNLV football time. It's a new season, and looks like the guys are fired up, and you got good fan support, so that's what it's about.
On a serious note, can you watch football and watch the way they coach and take some of the principles to the basketball court?
No, I love it. I think that Sanchez, he busts them up. If you don't do things right, he'll let you have it.
I love it.
We agree. We've seen it.
I love towards the end of the first half, the offense had one big run and one close finish, and he was like, this ain't cutting it. Like, we have no consistency right now.
No, I mean,
sure the crowd's like, whoa, what's going on?
He's a beast. I mean, yeah. He's such a hard worker, and he wants everyone around him to work as hard as he does. And I think that's going to rub off, and you could see it already rubbing off on the team last year, and they win some of those close games. I think that they're going to have a really good year.
So what's the feeling around athletics? What's the general feeling in terms of excitement level?
I mean, there's a buzz. There's definitely a buzz. I think Desiree does a great job in the athletic department. All the coaches are busting their tail. You guys know that. Everyone's fired up. When we won the championship, I never got so many texts and received so many emails. It was so fun. And, you know, Vegas wants a winner. It's very obvious with the hockey team.
Absolutely.
You know, I'm not a hockey person, but I love how the fans have supported hockey, and you can tell the guys are so into it because the fan support, they're going crazy. And if you can win in this town, people will come, and that's what we need. We need more fans and more community support. And when that happens, you get fired up, and the team gets fired up. Like our players, all they talk about is representing. So I love it. And I played here, and I had so many good people that helped me with my career. I can't say enough positive things about the city.
That's funny you mentioned the Knights, because I mentioned it a couple of times that there's a new bar set, but also the message has been sent that, you know, if you guys get the job done, whatever sport it is, and we're talking to Kathy Olivier, the women's basketball coach, that people are going to show up. You know, it's almost set that standard, like, hey, if you're gonna look in the crowd and go, hey, why isn't anyone here? There's really no one to blame but yourself, right? Because they will show up.
I can't even tell you how many people said to me, just, you guys got to keep going hard. Like, we want to see people work hard. And we just stress that. We stress it in practice or stress it in the, you know, the first game of the year when we play against each other. Like, this is. And you got to go hard. People, they love that. And then all of a sudden, you go hard every single time. You don't care about the score. You start winning some games. Now people are really liking what you're doing. So that's the message. Win games. That's what the city's been built around, right? Winners.
talk about being about. I was in the gym the night that you guys won the championship, and honestly speaking, one of the most electric. You could see the emotions pouring out of you when you were giving the speech. I'm trying to hand you the mic, but you were just trying to celebrate with your team. I think one of the great moments, like you said, following the trend of winning. I mean, yours was before the hockey team, obviously, but following that trend of winning, you saw the outpouring of support from the community once you.
Yep.
And how gratifying was that for you?
Oh, we loved it. I mean, absolutely loved it. And again, I know you guys get it because you're around sports all the time, and you've played, obviously, as a player. When you put in so much, and you put in so much time, and you put in so much effort, and now all of a sudden it pays off, and you get the W's, people love it. I mean, they're a big part of your success. And we go out all the time to the community, and I can't again tell you how many times I've heard, just keep doing what you're doing. I just ran into four guys. I don't even know who they were. These men said, we're coming to the games next year. You know, keep winning.
Okay. Right.
I was like, okay.
Winning. Winning breeds it. It's crazy what happens when you start winning.
It's the best. Absolutely the best.
I love that KO pointed to Caleb. She's like, you played. You don't remember watching me play softball like 5 years?
No. Quarterback, right?
Yes, I totally remember you. Come on.
Awesome.
I want some credit from KO. I thought we had the immediate softball game like 5 years ago. Come on
now. No, we had a great time.
I put on like 100 pounds since then. I can't move, but, you know, riding around in a scooter. So I saw you the other day at can't really jet around the outfield anymore. I saw you the other day at the WNBA draft party. So let's talk about the impact of women's professional basketball coming to Vegas. The Aces are going to tip off here in basically like the second, third week of May, play at Mandalay Bay. That was a cool scene the other night as they got the number one pick in the draft.
They do things right. I mean, you know what I thought the coolest thing was? When they brought the cardboard figure.
Yeah.
of Aja. Is that how you say her name?
I think that's really bad. About it. Yeah,
hey, Aja Wilson.
Aja Wilson. Yeah. She's huge and stick figure. She was almost as big as Coach Laimbeer. So, I mean, MGM's going to do it right. Mandalay Bay, I heard they did a lot of upgrades to the facilities. I don't know if you guys heard, but they're going to practice in Cox, where we practice,
really?
Cox Pavilion. They're going to renovate our locker room, so we're fired up about that.
Wow.
And I think having a professional team in town is going to be great. They made it very clear they want to take care of the WNBA Las Vegas Aces and hopefully eventually get an NBA team in town. And you saw what hockey did, so if hockey can do it, let's go. I would love to have a basketball pro team. I think it would be amazing for the city again. I can't wait for the Raiders. I'm all about sports, so whatever sports in town, I'm there.
So I know it might be putting the cart before the horse, but how have you thought about that going forward? We'll get to that in a second.
Real quick, because I want you to stick around. We're going to go down to the field, and Clay Baker is back with UNLV football coach Tony Sanchez.
Here we are with Coach Tony Sanchez here. We'll talk about that last series. We know he's got the quick release, but talk about the speed he can possess.
Yeah, I mean, you see his dual threat ability. He's a good runner. I mean, he does a really good job in space, making guys miss. And it all comes down to decision-making. All those things are options to be able to hand it off or run it, or RPOs, pass it or run it. So he's done a really good job.
How would you describe the changes we're seeing on defense? You got guys pursuing everybody all over the field.
Yeah, well, days like today are just getting the masses reps, getting as many guys in as you can, getting it on film. And you see we're a lot deeper, you know, in a lot of different spots, especially with offensive linemen, you know, defensive linemen, linebacking core, veteran group. So a lot of good guys out there, and the biggest thing is having the depth we have now.
To see that Markell, the practice rolls out and finishes up.
Again, you just want to see high level of execution and communication. So it's, you know, now having four quarterbacks all very capable of going out there and leading this team. It's great to have all these guys out here. I remember the days of having two.
Thanks, Coach. Appreciate it.
There you go. Tony Sanchez with our own Clay Baker. We're here on ESPN 1100, 100.9 FM. Rebel football spring showcase. Last couple minutes with the women's basketball coach, Kathy Olivier. We were talking about the excitement around Vegas, not only with UNLV Sports, but with Vegas Golden Knights and the massive crowds out there and raising the bar of expectations and certainly setting things up to prove. People will come out to support sports here in town, and I think they're going to come out if the Aces are a winning team. Did I read some good news the other day on Brooke Johnson?
Yeah, Brooke got invited to training camp, and people don't realize, but that is a big deal. I mean, Brooke has she's been an amazing player for us. She's been a leader for us. She's a very determined young lady. But Coach Laimbeer gave her a call and said, we want you out to training camp. So get out here and let's see you compete against these women. And I think it's going to be great for her. You guys have seen Brooke. Like, don't mess
right.
with Brooke Johnson.
Oh, yeah. Oh, when she gets going, she's a shooter. She plays great defense.
Yep.
And she works hard. You can see it. She works her tail off. That's a great opportunity for her. I'm proud of that.
What do you think it's going to be like for her exposed to that level? Because I don't know. I mean, clearly, we don't give the WNBA enough credit for the type of players there. We're talking about super high-level players. The size is massive. I mean, you just mentioned the number one pick. Asia Wilson is not going to be the only 6'5 woman on the roster.
Right.
So Brooke's going to be dealing with all those blow-bys and finishes. It's going to change a little bit now. Not saying she can't finish, but she's going to meet some big people near the rim.
Really good point. And the thing I've been telling her, and I've been telling her this for the last 3 years, but she's really listening now. You got to get some weight on you. Get some weight on you. Get some bulk on you. I mean, she's going to be playing against massive women, like you guys said. I mean, the good news is we really upped our schedule. We had a very, very competitive schedule, and we played against Mississippi State, who should have won the whole thing this past year. But Brooke has shown that she can do it. She had, I want to say, 18 or 20 against Mississippi State. I think she can compete, but I just feel like she needs to mature. Her body needs to mature more. You know, I'm looking at our football team, not to change the subject because I'm not trying to, but I think the guys are bigger. I feel like the guys are way bigger.
Bigger, and there's more of them.
Without a doubt. They are, as a whole, a lot larger than when I was here, the team, and it looks good. I mean, looking at a football team that looks like this is awesome. So,
well, I'll give you a good example. So Ashton Morgan is a redshirt freshman. He's a kid out of California. So he'll be in the mix for that left tackle spot. And, I mean, the kid's barely been here, and he's 6'5", 300, and he looks like he can carry 330.
Yeah. Oh, without easily carry 330 and get it moving still. And he's young. He's a redshirt freshman. He hasn't had a chance, really, to get his, you know, as we used to call it, grown man weight. He hasn't had that yet. He's still in his teens probably. So once he gets it, you know, his junior and senior year, it's going to be scary to watch how big he's going to be able, you know, the ceiling that he has as far as size. So that development is going to go a long way for the team.
So you talked about, and we're talking to Kathy Olivier, you talked about the energy being higher, all the coaches working harder. What has Desiree Reed Francois brought to the table?
I mean, she has brought leadership. We have our staff meetings, and she brings everyone in. She makes it very clear this is a team effort. It's not just your group doing it by themselves. Like, this is a UNLV athletic program effort, and everyone's going to help each other out, and we're all in this together, and you can feel that. You know, I have Sanchez texting me during the season, Coach Sanchez. I have Marvin and I talk all the time, Menzies, because our offices are right down the hallway. And I'm a big fan of men's tennis. Just was out there the other day. Owen's great. Yvonne won a championship. And everyone wants to win. Like you guys said, you got to win and get things done, and people are supportive.
Last one, get people amped up for this coming season. What do you got coming back? What do you got coming in?
Well, we have almost everyone back. We're going to miss Brooke, clearly. I mean, Brooke played a good 39 minutes for us and probably 55 seconds. and just her determination was amazing. But we have Nikki back, and Nikki is such a studly athlete. I think of her as like a female Russell Westbrook.
Oh, yeah.
Like, don't get in her way. Like, she'll
one woman fast break.
Exactly.
That's what she is.
And she can jump over you. She thinks she's 6 foot, and she's going to kill me if she's listening, but she's maybe 5'5", pushing it. And then we have Katie Powell, who had a great season last year. She, I think, was second in rebounding in the Mountain West and averaged just under 17 a game. And then Paris Strother, she's a local. She's back. She's an amazing young lady in so many different ways. She's a, you know, very good student. Just takes so much pride in doing things right. And then we have Jordan Bell. She's a starter. And then, okay, I'm missing some people I want to miss.
It's hard to remember.
I gotta say RJ. RJ, she's amazing. She's about 6'2", and really came on strong at the end of the year. So I think she's going to be great for us next year. And then we have a local young lady coming in from Centennial High School. Centennial High School wins state championship after state championship. Karen Weitz does a great job. She's a UNLV alum, by the way. So awesome. We have Justice is coming from Centennial High School, and then we have a young lady from Fresno, Cam, who's a point guard and great court vision and can see the floor. So I love our team. I mean, they're great girls.
Safe to say, no drop-off in your expectations. You want to do it again.
I want to do it again, and I'm going to go out there and say it. Even though I got so much heat last year, I said, we want to win the Mountain West Conference Championship. And the team supported me and said, let's go do it. So let's do it again, and we want to be better down the stretch. We want to finish stronger than we did this year.
KO, we appreciate it. Thanks.
All right, man. Thanks for having me, you guys.
Thank you.
We'll send it back to the studios. We'll come back out, tell you what's going on in the second half of the Rebel Football Spring Showcase. Boy, oh, boy, one of the young guys looking outstanding on that drive. We'll come back. We'll tell you all about it here on ESPN 1100, 100.9 FM.